As we're going to look at chapter 3, verses 18 through the first verse of chapter 4 today, we're going to look at how we work for the Lord. So, let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Again, starting with the 18th verse. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to wonder how it is we're supposed to walk through this life, but you have given us directions. Lord, we don't need to wonder about you, for you have told us about yourself in your word. Father, we don't need to know, ask questions, what it is you want us to do, for you have told us. But Lord, sometimes we just don't hear. And Lord, sometimes we just don't understand. And Lord, sometimes we just don't know how to apply what it is we have heard and what it is we understand to our day-to-day life. So Lord, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit now to lead us as we look into your word. Show us how to apply it to our lives. Father, show us how you would have us walk. Lord, I pray that as I come and preach this morning, that you would speak through me and that your people would be encouraged. Lord, if I have to say something which somebody doesn't agree with, might it be your word that they disagree with and not me? Might the things of myself and my flesh, which are contrary to you and your will, might they not come up? Might I not somehow in some way present them? But instead, Lord, might you override all that is not of you that is within me. And might you lift out and lay before all here what it is you would have for them to hear this day. Lord, use me in that capacity. And prepare the hearts and minds of each of the people here to receive it. Lord, we ask that this would occur not for the glory of any man or any body of men, or for the church even at large, but Lord, for you, for the glory of you and your name alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're working our way through Colossians. Remember, this letter to the people in Colossae is in response to false teachers. These people had been teaching that there were things that needed to be done above and beyond following the word of Christ. There are things that need to be done that were not in accord with God's word, that they were somehow deceiving the people. Paul starts off his letter with prayer. He moves in and he talks about the supremacy of Christ and who Jesus is, that all things are there because of him and through him. He talks about how it is that there have been those who have come in attempting to steer the church wrong. And he prays that they wouldn't be deceived. Their arguments, no matter how fine sounding they might be. It says that we're not to be tied up by the law. That in fact Christ was the fulfillment of it. He is the very embodiment. He is the Word. He's the fulfillment of all that had come before. We sang a song this morning, Freedom, which is so much of what Paul is teaching in Colossians. He's telling the people that they're free from being tied to that law, but that they are free doesn't mean that they're, and it's okay for them to sin, that it's okay for them to do wrong, but that they're not somehow tied to some extra rules. And we're told, you know, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or what you drink. But he wants them to save their judgment for how it is they live their lives. So he goes on and he starts teaching them how to do that, how to put on Christ. See, what they're free from is free from the law. And they need to, and that allows them to take away the things that are between them and God and set them aside. Ill will, slander, perversion, anger. To set these things aside and to put on Christ. And we're supposed to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Let His Word dwell in us. So we become reflections of Him. If we reflect Christ, we begin to live lives which look like what Paul describes in this section that we've read this morning. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not embitter your children. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair. Each and every one of us falls under all those categories, or at least two of those categories. I submit not all of us are wives and husbands, but some of us are one or the other. But all of us are children, and all of us are either a slave or a master, though some of us may be a little bit of both. See, if we put on Christ as Paul has previously instructed us, and if we're letting the Word dwell in us, these actions that he's talking about here, these interactions between people and how we relate to others, those things, those relationships begin to model Christ. And that's what God is really concerned about, isn't it? Relationship. That's what salvation, Jesus coming, living this earth, walking this earth as a human being, as a man that was tempted by sin, but yet able to overcome that temptation and live that sinless life, yet was willing to drink from the cup on our behalf, to take our penalty for our sins upon Himself and go to the cross. Why did He do that? It was all about relationship. You see, we had a broken relationship with the Father because we're sinners. Each and every person is a sinner. Thought, word, or deed, if of any way we've broken the law, we're a sinner. But through Christ and the work He did on the cross, salvation's available there for each and every person who would choose to receive it. See, God's concern is about relationships. His relationship with us. And each and every person in creation. It is God's will, His desire, that all should come to know Him. But He gave us free will. He said, I want you to, but I'm going to let you decide. I want you to. And when we do receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we've been freed from the sin, and remember, He's our Lord. That means we're supposed to be following what He says in every aspect of our lives. This is what it looks like. Wives are submitting to their husbands. Remember, submission doesn't mean becoming a doormat. It's lifting each other up. Elsewhere, we're told to submit one to another. Each told to submit to each other. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Elsewhere, we're told to love them just the same way Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church, us, the world? By giving Himself completely. Self-sacrifice. Not putting Himself first and His personal desires first, but instead putting the need of us, the lost, before. So God's concern is with people, those relationships. And our when we do that, we see that our relationships will reflect Christ. Fathers, do not embitter your children. They'll become discouraged. Children are told to obey. Parents are told to not embitter their children. Nothing's more discouraging for a child than to hear nothing but discouraging words. They become bitter. They become discouraged. They need to hear that they're loved, that they're important. It's relationship is what's being shown here. God told us how much He loved us by coming and sacrificing on our behalf. We do the same through our relationships. In even our slave-master relationship, if you would, our employer-employee relationships, in those areas where those who have authority over us, when we work for somebody else, are we working only when their eyes are upon us? You know, I'm obedient, I'm doing working hard because they're watching me, and as soon as they're not watching me, oh. David, you work night shift. It's real easy for people to not be hard workers on the night shift, isn't it? Because the boss isn't there looking around. Sometimes the night shift, they work real hard to try to get a good crew there. People who will work without being somebody standing over them to watch them. It's not an easy thing. Masters are told to provide for their slaves what is right and fair. See, it's all about the relationships. And if I'm a Christian and I'm a master, that means I have authority over somebody else. I need to be treating them and do what is right and fair. Are our relationships reflecting Christ? Ask yourself that. Are your relationships reflecting Christ in your life? Second thing I want to look at this section here is, who are you looking to for your reward? As Christians, we are instructed here that it's the Lord that we're supposed to be looking to for our reward. That even though when I'm working for somebody else, I'm not really working for them. I'm working for God. God might use that person to give me money, but God is really my primary employer. That's to be our attitude. What comes to us comes from His hand. He may use an intermediary to hand it to us. But like, Linda, that was beautiful what you shared today. That you were God's tool. You know, the gal was there sitting in the chair and Linda was prompted of God to ask a question, and through God through Linda brought this gal a blessing. That's us every day. Every blessing that we have. Who are we looking to for our blessings? We're supposed to be looking to Christ. We're supposed to be looking to our Father in heaven. We're supposed to be looking to God. We're not to be looking to ourselves. We're not to be looking to each other as the source of our blessings. I'm not the source of a blessing. Brett mentioned that I was a blessing. That's right. I was. I praise God that I was. Because God worked through me. But you see, it was God that provided the blessing. I was just a conduit. I'm not the source. The Mississippi River flows less than a mile over that away. Are the banks the source of the river? Is even Lake Itasca the source? Ultimately, no. Water has to come as rain and from groundwater to fill Lake Itasca and all the tributaries that fill the river. The source of that great flood of blessing, water, ultimately, again, is all from God. Even here, we can't point to one place and say, that is the ultimate source. I didn't do that. Look to the Lord for a reward, not the world. So much we get caught up in thinking that the world is the one that's going to provide for us, when it's not. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair. Why? Because you know that you also have a master in heaven. And ultimately, it's the master who's going to provide the blessing. Because you know what is right and fair. Anybody here not wanted to be treated right and fair? Well, sometimes I really don't want to. I want to have a whole preponderance of grace and mercy. But when we deserve a blessing, when somehow a blessing is something that God wants to bring us, we need to recognize that He is our Master in heaven. He's the source of it. It doesn't come from the world, but it comes from God. See, ultimately, we work for the Lord. He's our employer. When we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we're basically putting on the uniform of the follower of Christ. And we are put on the rolls as working as in the kingdom of God. Now, if you're working for somebody, you're supposed to do their will. Not supposed to do your own. You're not supposed to do what is contrary Do they express will and purpose of whom it is you're working for? Butch works for the U.S. government, civilian capacity at this time. He used to work in a not-so-civilian capacity. Jason and Ryan, my two sons, they currently work, or Chris, currently work for the Army, and Ryan's going to be joining them on the 31st. Now, if any of these three or four, Butch, were to decide, you know, I think it'd be a good idea to give information which I have, which has been labeled top secret, and take that over to, say, anybody who didn't have clearance and authorization to have that information and give it to them, they would be doing contrary to what their employer's wish was. And they would be in a whole lot of trouble. And I'd hope that the worst that happened to them was they would lose their job. As a matter of fact, I do believe that, George probably wouldn't have to face that because he's a civilian contractor, but Jason, Ryan, and Chris could face a firing squad, theoretically. Not that the Army's done a lot of that lately, but they have executed people for treason, which is what they call it, for spying. And since they're considering this an active wartime footing, they get a little more serious about that. So we work for God. That means we don't have the option of doing it our way, aside from the authority that He gives us. And He does give us some leeway. Do this, do that. But we know what it is within the boundaries because He's given us those boundaries. They're clear. Don't say they're not. Because they are. It's very clear what it is that God, when we're stepped outside of God's will. So, remember who it is you're working for. You're working for the Lord. His concern, His primary concern, as we see throughout Scripture, is one thing. That broken relationships with Him be restored. That our relationships with each other would mirror that and would draw people to Him is the best thing that we can do. And we're not to look to those relationships for our reward, but instead we're to look to Him. Let's pray. Father, help us each one to look to You, to remember that it is You indeed that we are working for. Lord, I ask You now that You would help each of us to be strong for You and to walk with You, remembering indeed that You are the one whom we serve, that is Your will and desire that those who don't know You are drawn to You, and that broken relationship be restored. And Lord, might we look not to the world, to ourselves, or to each other for our reward, but might we only look to You. And might we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.